You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Skip the waiting room. TireRack.com offers convenient mobile tire installation in many areas. Simply shop TireRack.com for your next set of tires, and at checkout, choose Tire Rack Mobile Tire Installation. An expertly trained technician will arrive with your tires and install them on site, at home, at the office, wherever you are. You'll spend less time waiting and more time doing the things you enjoy. Learn more at TireRack.com.
Gravity had a good run, but it's time to feel the weightlessness of the Brooks Glycerin 21. These running shoes feature nitrogen-infused DNA Loft V3 cushioning. Brooks has even magnified the plushness to elevate the softness to new levels. And if you want extra support, find these same features in the Brooks Glycerin GTS 21. Learn more and shop now at brooksrunning.com. That's brooksrunning.com.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at ikea-usa.com today.
Introducing Batiste sweat-activated and touch-activated dry shampoo. With breakthrough technology that absorbs oil and releases bursts of fragrance whenever you sweat or touch your hair for up to 24 hours, it's the ultimate hair care for girls on the go. Try the newest dry shampoo that's activated by you. Batiste, the future of hair care is here. Buy Batiste dry shampoo online or in store at your nearest retailer.
Good morning, folks. Or whatever time of day you're listening to this. It's morning as I'm recording this intro, so good morning, good afternoon, and good night. Before we get started into this bonus episode, I want to give a little bit more context than what we gave in the actual conversation itself. So if you're not familiar, Devon Blue's been on the show multiple times. You can go back and listen to his first episode where he really explains himself and what he does. Then he came on again for more just a general conversation, which was really, really enjoyable. And now we are working together to try to push his musical ventures forward. The group is called Boy Indigo. I really, really like the music and the visuals that go along with it. If you're familiar with Devon's work, then you'll know it's legit. It's super legit. So anyway, that is the basis of this conversation, and we get into some of that. And we talk about some of the things kind of at a high level. We don't get into the nitty-gritty exactly of what we're going to try to do together. So yeah, that's that. And if you listen to the episode that dropped earlier this week, you may have heard in the intro that there is a text number set up where you can text me directly at 503-751-8577. That's 503-751-8577. And what that number is it's a place you can connect directly to me. Everything comes right to me, and everything that comes out of there will be directly from my thumbs. So what's going on over there is partially tied to this project, partially tied to documenting the things we are going to try to do to push the Boy Indigo project forward, and partially it's a place for random non-gear content. I get hit up all the time about things I say in passing on the show, talking about barbecue, talking about digital marketing, talking about business, talking about whatever. And I don't really have a great channel for putting that kind of content out there or sharing those tools and sharing those things. So you can kind of consider that just a direct line to me, and the things that will come out of there are sort of just random. You never know what it might be, but I'll always try to make it useful or at least entertaining and something I think that folks should check out. There's been a ton of people that signed up already. I'm really surprised, actually. I'm really surprised how many people texted into that number already. So, yeah, we're going to be 100 strong over there here pretty soon. So 503-751-8577, again, is the number. It'll be in the show notes, so you can check for that later. You don't have to crash your car trying to put that into your phone. Please don't. So yeah, without further ado, let's get into this show. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Tone Mob Podcast, the show about guitar stuff and other things sometimes, too. I'm your host, Blake Weiland, and with me today I have my friend, Devon Whitaker, returning, one of my favorite people to talk to and to podcast with and to watch stuff that he makes. How's it going, man?
It's pretty good, man. How are you doing this morning?
I'm not bad. I'm not bad. I got some leftover pizza in the fridge that I'm going to be enjoying later, which is always a good thing. And the sun is shining, and I'm staring at a Telecaster. So, you know, it can't be all that bad.
Oh, a Telecaster. Okay. Yes. What kind of Telecaster are you staring at?
Generally, because it's kind of its assumed position in the shred shed, unless I'm playing it, it is my 1974 Tele Custom. So it's the black, the black on black, some black guitar, black pickguard. Yeah. The one that Instagram goes crazy for.
You know, I've only ever had one Tele in my life. And it's this weird custom shop one. And I love it. My Strat needed to be, intonated, and the neck needed to just be reworked. So I stopped using my Strat to do demos because I sent it off to have someone take care of it. And I started using the Telecaster, and it was just bright and chiming. And for guitar effects, it actually shined through in such a lovely way that I've been, I would say respectfully, like the last maybe the last eight demos I've done have all kind of just been with that Telecaster. So it's I got it in a trade, and it looked cool. And now I have a greater appreciation for it. So I love that thing.
Tellies are a lot of fun. I didn't understand as a younger guy. Like, what's the big deal? Why does everybody love Telecaster so much? Then I played a couple, and I understood. I understood what Leo was going for. They're just a straight-ahead tool, and they work fantastically. But, yeah. What are you up to? What do you got cooking today?
Well, I just finished a video for Premier Guitar. They've asked me to kind of do some of their first look videos, and you know, I finished it last night and sent it off. We'll see if they like it. They have a pretty basic kind of format for the way that they like their videos to kind of be done, and it was a challenge for me to do anything like just simple, like camera in front of you and this and that. And the whole thing is really an interesting experience, because when they came to me to do this, this first look video for their gear, they weren't coming to me as, you know, Devon Blue, the guy who does demos with Blue Gloves. They were coming to me from like, Devon Blue of like, you know, Boy Indigo, you know, my band. They wanted something that actually showed me the person playing gear, which was a little unnerving and unsettling for myself. It's a weird thing, seeing yourself on camera, especially since, like, I mean, for the past, what, 2 years, year and a half, something like that, of doing demos, I haven't been on the camera, like just my hands ending gloves. So this is probably the third time I've shot myself on camera. And it's extremely weird. So yeah. So hopefully they like it, and hopefully they kind of like my format of it and the way I do things. Ultimately, it is for a completely different market and demographic. So it's a little bit it's not something that I'm altogether used to doing, but it's those moments of uncomfortability, that kind of like invulnerability ultimately, that kind of push us to, you know, being better artists and better musicians, you know? So, you know, I think that, you know, the universe is constantly trying to groom us for those things that we want, you know, and I saw this as a opportunity, you know, put myself, you know, out there in a way, you know, and ultimately that's kind of the thing that you and I are kind of working on now too. So it's interesting how all of these things kind of start falling in line.
Yeah, it's an interesting segue, because I was going to say this is a big way, honestly, to put yourself out there in a departure from what you're used to. So for me, it took me, I'm still not 100% like super cozy on camera. I feel a little bit weird, like staring into the black eye of death, it feels like sometimes when you're looking at the lens.
It's so weird. It's so weird. It's so weird.
I have a little bit of like mini imposter syndrome every time I do it. I'm like, why would anybody want me to do this? You know, like, why would anybody want to hear what I have to say about this? And it's like, well, some people care, I guess. So let's do it. But I totally get it. But different from me, you know, you're going from a little bit, I wouldn't say like, well, a little bit of a mystery man persona to more of a public facing thing. But with the Premier Guitar thing, you're kind of doing it in a pretty big step forward. Like, you're really going from 0 to 60, because Premier Guitar, while it's not like the Rolling Stone magazine or the biggest publication on earth, you know, they have thousands of people that are going to look at these things. And so it's a big, not to make you weirded out by it, but it's a big step forward for you, I feel like.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the interesting thing about it is, you know, there's not going to be many people that are going to chase that persona down through the rabbit hole to find the Blue Glove demo thing that I do. It's an interesting thing, because, you know, when I launched my my band this year, excuse me, and this is the first year I've ever released any music of my own. When I first launched that, I really thought that the demographic that I had built, or the following that I had built by virtue of doing these gear demos, I thought, you know, a lot of them would kind of, you know, follow over to this other thing. And it didn't. I mean, like, the percentage of it was extremely small. It was something like, it was about, probably around 7% of the gear audience that I had acquired. Maybe even less, followed over from Instagram and things like that, and Facebook, over to the things that I do as a musician. And, Even still, and that's fine. A lot of people just love the mystery, and they love what I do over there, and that alone, it satiates them. So they don't need to hunt anymore. You know, it's like, if I really wanted to look more into, you know, who Knobs was and all of the projects Knobs was in, it would be relatively easy to do so, but I don't, you know.
Right.
Yeah. You know, so, yeah. So while in a lot of ways it's a big departure from what I've been doing, you know, the 0 to 60 thing, I don't necessarily see there being a lot of crossover. I'm. It's not going to be something I'm going to be advertising much on my own Instagram. If anything, I'll put it on my band's Instagram, kind of linking that. But, you know, I'm going to be kind of specific about it, and letting them know that, like, hey, whatever you link, if you want to link to my socials, just link it to my band and not this other thing. So,
right. Yeah. It's kind of interesting. I'm actually sitting here going like 7%. That's actually pretty good. You know, I usually tell people like 1% is what I expect generally from going from platform to platform. It's very difficult to get people to hop to different things in my experience.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, no. And that's still true. Those numbers are actually accurate, but I'm measuring them from I started a new Instagram account. So getting people to go from one Instagram account to another Instagram account, like I think the numbers in that are a little bit more higher. So 7%, it's probably is about right. Maybe it's usually around like 3%, but 7% kind of followed over. So I guess that is a good thing, but it's not necessarily platform jumping as much as it was an opportunity for those who liked what I did to be able to see more of it and they're on their timeline. So that's really quite literally what it was. So
yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's an interesting world trying to navigate these online spaces. I think people get like a false assumption that people will see, you know, if they're following your account, it's like, oh, this person has this many thousand followers. And as soon as they post something, that many thousand people are going to see the new thing and run right over there. But what I always tell people is like, think about how you consume the media on your own timeline. If somebody you really like posts something like a new song or something, if you're a super big fan of them, you might drop everything you're doing and go check it out immediately. Or you might just kind of note it in the back of your head and think about doing it later. And maybe you do, maybe you don't, but you most likely just keep scrolling on by. Like, even if you really do appreciate whatever that person does, it's kind of weird. I think people have this assumption that, you know, everyone who follows X, Y, and Z must just love X, Y, and Z. And it's like, I don't know, Kim Kardashian has millions and millions of followers, and I guarantee you not all of them just love Kim Kardashian. You know, they're just following to follow type of thing. Some of them do, don't get me wrong, but it's a smaller percentage than what I think people think. But
right.
Anyway, and
the problem with it though too for artists right now, you know, and it's a problem that I'm struggling with as well, as an artist, is like right now we're relegated exclusively to these platforms, you know, in order to thrive as an artist because of COVID being what COVID is. It's like, how do you become an artist in this state of COVID, and how do you thrive, you know? And these platforms are not necessarily institutions that are really made for smaller independent artists, like to thrive in a meaningful way, you know. Likewise, you know, say you've got 1,000 followers on your Instagram, you know, or Facebook or wherever, you make a post and that doesn't go out and it's not seen by everybody, you know. It's not a shared experience, you know. Only the people who have probably you've kept some measure of correspondence with, maybe they'll see it first, and then others might see it a few days later, if at all. So it's an interesting thing, because you do the work and, you know, acquiring followers and things like that on these platforms, only to, you know, never really have the full weight of that benefit. You never really get to kind of experience that. So it's like the question now is as an artist, as a musician in these times, like, how do you make it, you know? And I think that's the question that you and I are asking, and I mean, we're looking for the answers for that. And I think that there is a process in which we can leverage as artists to still make a living, you know, by way of the internet. It's going to take a lot of work, and it's going to take a lot of work.
It is. And that's a good point to kind of get to what we have been talking about. So we've been talking on the phone, well, off and on for the whole year, but specifically in the last few weeks about this very thing. Like, you expressed to me, like, you know, I like doing demos. That's fun. It helps pay the bills. And you like doing some of the commercial stuff that you've done, helps pay the bills. And then, you know, working on other people's stuff, all the things that you've talked about in your previous episodes on the podcast. I probably should have plugged that right up top. Like, if you don't know who he is, go back and listen to his first two episodes, or the first one episode specifically will give you a good overview. But anyway, yeah, we kind of just jumped into things and didn't explain all that, but that's what intros are for. I'll do an intro on it. but we, you know, I very much have held the belief for a long time that there are some parallels to gaining traction, whether it's with a song or whether it's with a podcast or any other kind of media that people are creating. And in talking to a whole bunch of people on the show that have made careers in music, and sometimes they did it in years prior and they've done it in various ways, I ask everybody, do you think you need the backing of a big label or the support of a big label and the baggage that comes with these days? And literally, I can't think of a single person that I've talked to that says yes, regardless of how successful they've been with their musical career. They're all like, no, not anymore. You know, you know. And it's right. Kind of funny to hear these people who are signed to big labels in some cases be like, you don't really need it. And so I've long thought, I was like, well, this podcast, while it's not the most downloaded podcast on the internet, there's a lot of people that do listen to it. And, you know, how did I drive that? How did I push that boulder up the hill? And I just got to thinking about all those parallels, and I'm like, well, there's no reason that a musical artist couldn't do a lot of the same stuff. You know, it's all content driven, and there's different tactics and strategies to explore and test and see what people resonate with and what they don't. And you and I started talking, you were like, man, what I really want to do though is just make music. I just want to make my own music and make my own videos and do that. And I was like, well, you know, you've got all the secret sauce. You're really good at visual art. You're really good with words and poetry and all that stuff. And you're a great musician. Maybe we can work on this together. That was the thought process that I had. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, as some people have figured out, and this is a part of what we're going to talk about here, I found a way to get a number that people can text. And it goes right to me, and I can reply back and forth to people, and we can send pictures and links back and forth, just like you were texting with one-on-one with your friend. And I found a way that you can do that at scale. So I was able to get one of those numbers, and I've been playing with it for the last week or so, texting back and forth with fans of the podcast about things, and it's turning out really cool. But it's that direct one-on-one, like everybody gets it and almost everybody replies, and it's cutting out that middleman of social media. But at the same time, I was trying to think, what am I going to do on here besides the direct communication, like direct one-on-one conversations? What am I going to do differently than what I do in my Facebook group or what I do on Instagram or YouTube or any of these other places? Because I feel like you have to tailor the content to the method you're using for delivery so that it's easier to consume. And that's when I hit up you. And I was like, what if we documented via that text number the process that you and I are going to use to try to get more traction with Boy Indigo, more traction with your direct musical side of things? And you were on board for it, and that's what I figured, hey, let's do a podcast and talk about it. So yeah, that's the genesis of everything that leads to this point right now.
right. And I think a thing that we should be kind of speaking to, and I mean, ultimately, you know, we'll document this and kind of send it out and text for those people who are interested in it, but we should kind of be taking into account like what the biggest hurdle is, and being a musician right now, and that's, a lot of people would think that it's COVID, and COVID is kind of a handicap and in certain respects, but in other respects, it really isn't. It's ultimately changing the landscape of musicality and how people consume music now. Like, I mean, right now, more and more people are at home consuming content, you know, and that's an opportunity for a lot of us creators, especially like musicians who have the capacity to write and record their own music and put their own music out there. You know, if you're one of those musicians who can do that, or you have access to it, you know, someone who you could, you've got a friend who's an engineer, you can go over his house and record. It's like now more than ever, you need to be getting your stuff out there, but like, not just like, and you can't just say, cause that's easy to say, like make some music and put it out there. You know, there has to be a method by which you put it out there that makes sense, you know, because, you know, we've talked about this before, like social media and Spotify and platforms like that and YouTube, they exist primarily for bigger artists. They're there for bigger artists. Spotify, like, in order to make minimum wage, which you would make in minimum wage job on Spotify, you'd have to have something like over 300,000 monthly streams, you know? So for a lot of us, you know, who are just starting and just putting music out there on Spotify, it's like, it's going to take time to get there, you know? But so you think like, okay, well, how do I get people to Spotify? Because you don't want to just make music, put it on Spotify and be like, there you go. Hope that the algorithm does its job. Because the one thing I can attest to is that of all of the listens that I get on there, and I had it upward of like 20,000 monthly listeners, which is huge for just someone out of the gate, just coming right into this thing, not having anything, but, and it's since dropped down because I'm working on the everything else, but 1%, it was about 1% of the listeners came from Spotify's suggested pool, you know, like 1% of all of the listens that I've gotten for the entirety of this year came from Spotify recommending people to listen to this, you know, like, because so that's not a big number at all. That's not a big number at all, you know, so. You can't count on the algorithm, these algorithms to actually do you a service. So then you think in terms of like, all right, well, maybe I can send people from my Instagram or Facebook to Spotify to listen to my music, to consume it that way. Well, again, this, the method by which you do this is the proof that as an independent artist, these practices do not serve you. They only serve these entities. You are only going to make Facebook rich. You're only going to make Spotify rich doing this. But here's the thing, the crux of it is that, like, and I've tried this, is you pay money for an advertisement on Facebook, and each time someone clicks on your link and you're sending them to Spotify, it costs a certain amount of money per click. That, depending on the audience that you're trying to market to, it can be a crazy amount. But let's round down, just for the sake of argument, and say that it costs 1 cent for one person to click on this link and go to Spotify. Now, if that person clicks on your link, you now pay Facebook 1 cent. Okay, fine. They're now at Spotify. And let's assume they like your song and they listen to the entirety of that song. You now make 0.03 cents from Spotify off of that transaction. And let's round up. Say it's like, you know, it's half of a cent. We'll round up again. And just say it's a half a cent. You just created, you know, a transaction where you've lost money. You have, where's the gain at in that? You've lost a half a cent. This costs you a half a cent every time. Well, and the reality is that it actually costs a whole lot more to send a person from Spotify. Like, I mean, the average is, you know, 8 cents all the way up. And you're creating these paradoxes where it's like, how do you make money as an artist? You know, because that's the thing. It's like, you know, we have to be real. Like, I mean, if it's just about like putting your art out there, just kind of getting it out there, then it doesn't really matter. You just put it out there and then you can go to sleep at night. But if you're an artist and you want to make a living off of your artist, how does it happen? And I mean, ultimately, that's kind of what you and I are kind of exploring. Like, how do we do this? But ultimately, the one thing that we do know, especially from this experiment here, is that, especially with what you're doing with the whole text messaging thing, is that you want to be the one to be in control of the connections you have with your audience. If you amass a large audience on Spotify, for example, say you get 1,000, 100,000, 1,000,000 followers on Spotify, you do all of the work, you do not have access to those people. You don't know, you don't have access to them. You can't send them an email and say, hey guys, we've got merchandise out. Hey guys, we're going to be touring in your area. You can't do that. Spotify holds all the cards right now. So it's, and the more music you put up there for Spotify, that means Spotify now has an even larger pool to where they go to advertise. People who want, companies that want to advertise, they can say, hey, yeah, we've got like 756 billion songs on our platform. So, you know, and we've got these many people listening. So all you're doing is helping them, you know? So right now, it's kind of a necessary evil. And I mean, we're trying to right now kind of explore methods in which to kind of like, you know, usurp more of that control. And ultimately, it's going to come from doing things where, you know, we either kind of create communities within ourselves as artists and help each other, you know, or you do something like Taylor Swift, you know. Taylor Swift has done something that's extremely interesting, and it's not something that's unique with regard to Taylor Swift, but like she's, when her music comes out, it doesn't go to Spotify or iTunes or the Apple Store or wherever it goes. It doesn't go there first. It does not. It goes to her website, to her followers, and it is there for a while, and then it'll filter through to these other places. So, creating like these kind of connections or with your audience, one-to-one connection where you can quite literally say, yeah, I sent that text message to Joe. I sent that email to Joe and he replied. I see he replied kind of thing. You know, I see that I sent it to him and he opened it. You know, it's things like that, that we need as artists. And, you know, Bandcamp seems like it's an interesting tool to kind of leverage. So like, that's something that I think that I'm going to be looking into. The only problem with Bandcamp is that a lot of people who aren't musicians don't necessarily go to Bandcamp. They don't think initially like, oh, Bandcamp, I'm going to go to Bandcamp. And, you know, when you look up institutions like Chartmetric is a tool that you use to see where your plays are coming from, what's happening with your stats, your overall stats, your popularity ranking amongst like social medias and things like that. It doesn't even show up on there. And the industry at large uses tools like Chartmetric to kind of see where you're at, to see if like they're interested in making any investment into you, or if they want you to be on a tour with their big artists. Chartmetric.com. And I think you can create a free account to kind of look into that. So that's something too for people. Bandcamp isn't really even a blip on there. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's a tiny, tiny platform. It's a great platform. And if you read up on it, it's a really interesting company. And they're growing. They're growing a lot, but they're not a big venture backed thing, you know. Or I mean, they might have had some investment up front. I don't remember the whole story, but it's not anything like Spotify or Amazon Music or any of these other places.
Which
it's
is
really
sad.
I know. But it's encouraging to see its growth, but I think it's largely always going to be a smaller piece of the pie. What is great about it is a place for people who understand the dynamics of the music industry, like the really hardcore music fans are all, well, and you've experienced this, I'm sure too. People ask you, is your music on Bandcamp? Not because it's like the smoothest platform to use or like, you know, some of it's a little bit clunky even. I'm sure it'll get better over time, but it's not as like smooth. The UI isn't really nice like Spotify's is, you know, it's not the most user friendly platform on the planet, but they ask you that because they know that when they stream or they buy anything over there, a much larger percentage of it would go to you. And those are the type of fans you want, the ones that are going to go out of their way to make it better for you. You know, because it's for them, the stream is a stream is a stream. It doesn't matter where it comes from, largely. Mm-hmm. And if you can do it through there, then great. I mean, it's part of the reason. And I know it's a tiny fraction of a difference. But when I never did pay for Spotify, when Apple Music came out, I still didn't really understand the whole streaming thing when I first signed up for it. But I stuck with Apple Music because it's basically the same for me. And I knew that it paid a tiny fraction of a cent better than Spotify did. So I was like, well, it's kind of the same. So that's what I'm going to use, you know. And I know Tidal's even a little bit better. But Bandcamp's the best. Bandcamp's the best by far, as far as streaming services go.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the only thing, though, with Bandcamp, I mean, it would be nice if there was a way for people who purchased music there on Bandcamp for it to instantly go into like their iTunes, you know, their iTunes, like their music there or
right
wherever, however they listen to music on their phones. There's, you know, if there was a way for it to just instantly be routed there and do that very specific thing, that would actually kind of cut down on it. You know, you would see far more people like, oh, I want to find more indie artists and go on there. And that would be that. But so far, you know, that's the case. I was working with somebody who was helping me with marketing, and I was like, yeah, maybe I should just start sending people to Bandcamp. And he was like, can, but Bandcamp's not really like, Bandcamp is great for musicians who want to support other musicians, you know. Mm-hmm. And he's like, but the average consumer, they don't even know what that is. And that can change, you know, that definitely can change, especially if all musicians kind of band together and they say, hey, yeah, I'm not going to put my music on Spotify or I'm not going to put my music on iTunes. My music is only going to be here. You know, if we all did something along those lines, then, you know, hey, fantastic. But, yeah, I don't necessarily see that happening anytime soon, just to be real, you know.
No, I don't. I think a better method is to just be everywhere. You know, including YouTube, mm-hmm. you know,
I think
that's actually the real move is just to diversify. Cause the fact of the matter is there's people, and I know this from the podcast, like there are people that only listen to specific things in specific places. And what's been so interesting in doing sort of off social media communication experiments, like with this text messaging service, and I've always had the newsletter, you know, when we did these giveaways recently for the fires and whatnot, as it got closer, I realized I was like, oh, I hadn't sent a newsletter out on this yet. So I better do that. And so many people replied to that, like, oh, thank you. I've ditched social media this year, so I didn't see any of this stuff. Like, not a small number of people, maybe like 25 or 30 people replied to it with that response. Like, oh, I ditched Facebook and Instagram this year. It was just too much for me. So it's nice. But I listen to the podcast, you know, every week, for instance. So they listen to the podcast, but they don't follow me anywhere else. And they might really enjoy the podcast, but that direct communication and emails even getting a little sticky with that anymore, which we can talk about. But that is becoming increasingly important. I don't see anybody ditching social media in mass anytime soon. I don't think that's probably ever going to happen. But it is important to note, there are a lot of people that aren't on social media. Sometimes it can feel like the whole world. But there are millions of people who, they might look at Facebook once a week, if they have it. You know, they might look at Instagram, you know, once a day, maybe. Like, we tend to think, as people who live in a digital world, that, and especially me who does digital marketing and stuff, it was like, everybody's on these things. And it's like, not necessarily.
It's actually,
my dad's never in this thing, you know?
Yeah. The actual number is like 80% of the world are on social media, specifically Facebook.
Which is crazy to think about.
Yeah, but I mean, if you think about it like this, like, to your point, you know, 20% aren't, and like that's a lot of people, you know.
And those people are less distracted.
They really are.
So they get an email, it means something. Like, oh, I have to investigate this email.
Or a text message, you know, like, really, you know. So I think for the people who are listening to this particular podcast, I think the things that I would say, like, the kind of takeaways from all of this is, the first thing is kind of try to create a system in which you have access to your followers or your subscribers, to where you can have, you know, that one-to-one connection. And I mean, right now, that's part of what you and I are going to be exploring, ways of doing that. But the other thing, though, too, is, and this is one that we have, that you and I talked about last time we had a phone call, is collaborations. So if you are going to be trying to, because we still have to have Spotify, we still have to have iTunes, but the best way to hack those algorithms is to collaborate with other artists, you know, and find an artist who has just, you know, just who's within your genre or someone, and they don't have to have like the greatest Spotify numbers, you know, or the greatest like, following on Instagram. It's nice if they do. It's better if they do. You know, the degree of success increases based upon that, but still collaborate with them, because there's a few things that actually end up happening. The first is you come out with a song with another artist. They're going to help push it on their social media platforms, which means that now you have access to their followership. That's something that helps significantly just from doing a song with them. But now the other thing that happens with Spotify is Spotify, and this is part of the reason why my numbers shot up so high, was because I was collaborating and still collaborate with another artist whose numbers at the time was better than mine. My numbers have since kind of like passed a little bit, but what happens with Spotify when you have a collaborative track, you can release the track on both your platform and they can then release it as well on their platform as well. So any plays or promotions that you put on your side of it, they're going to reap the benefit of. And then vice versa. If they're doing something over there, like they're just putting this thing on blast and letting people know, or if they throw a few bucks to boost a post, whatever happens there, it happens for both of you. But the biggest thing is from there on, you're linked with that artist in terms of the algorithm. So anytime that artist puts out an album, a song, or a single, then Spotify sends an email out to their fan base, the people who follow their page, and says, hey, so-and-so has a new song out. And then if you go down to the bottom of the email, it says suggested artists you might also like, and you will be there every time. So it's those are kind of ways to kind of like, you know, kind of increase your numbers on Spotify if that's something that you're really interested in. I mean, ultimately, the main thing that you're looking for in terms of a collaborator is, yeah, sure, if they've got decent socials or if their numbers on Spotify are great. But the most important thing that you want to be looking for is someone who you know is going to be consistently putting music out. Like in another few months, they got another song coming out or something like that, because that ends up helping your numbers too. Like the more they work, the harder they work on their own things, means that every time they put something out, you're going to be at the bottom of that email that Spotify sends out whenever they push something, and then vice versa. So as artists, we really have to kind of pull our resources. We really have to work together. This isn't one of those things. I think there's this kind of interesting high school mentality to the whole thing. And it's that everyone believes that they're in it for themselves. But realistically, like, we are in this together. I mean, right now, we're the music scene and the art scene, we are being done a huge disservice in spite of what's happening with COVID. I mean, you look at all of the artists and musicians who are now unemployed and things of that nature, and you're starting to see that, like, these institutions, these government bailouts and things like that, that they're doing, they're not talking about what's happening definitively with the arts. Like, how are we going to help these guys? You know, it's usually just something that they kind of do. And while bigger artists, huge artists, aren't necessarily feeling, you know, the harshness of this environment to the degree that we are. Like, I mean, it's just, I don't know. Therein lies the proof. Like, this, the fact that collaborating with another artist is a thing that can kind of help you out. So that's the takeaway number two. And then the third takeaway that I would say that people should implore, or a tactic that they should put into what they're doing for the artists who want to succeed at this: consistency. You have to kind of be able to say that, like, you know, especially in the year 2021, you have to be able to say, like, at the very least, very bare minimum, you have to be able to say, I'm going to release a song a month. Every month, I'm going to release a song. And you have to make sure that, like you said, Blake, it's like, got to get it everywhere. You know, it's gotta be everywhere. So it's, it takes that level of commitment, because, you know, it's, you know, dreams without goals will always just be dreams, and they'll always leave you high and dry. But you have to have, like, realistic goals in order to achieve this thing that you love. Because for most of us, like, especially like gear enthusiasts and things like that, like, it's not just necessarily about the gear. The gear itself helps us to kind of amplify this thing that we have in us, you know, this creative spirit within us, this thing that we want to do, right? And it's just, we have to kind of just push, you know, every day. Who was it? It was Thomas Edison, who conducted like 1,000 failed experiments, you know. And why? Because at the 1,001 experiment was the light bulb. And it kind of takes that level of determination, you know, to succeed in this. I say it's like the two A's, you know, it's authenticity, so the ability to be uniquely yourself, and attrition, you know, like, never giving up, just keep going. And I think that if we as artists can kind of embody that, then I think we can succeed.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of this stuff you're saying, this is why I wanted to get with you on this and, you know, work on this together, is because there's so much similarity. You know, the medium is different, like, you know, podcasting is a conversation and you try to keep it interesting and you do your best to make it something that's fun to listen to for everybody. It's not the same craft as making a song, but the way it's consumed is identical.
It's pretty much exactly the same. The platforms operate exactly the same way. The places you would put this podcast are the same places I would put a song. The advertising tools in which you would implore to get this out there are the exact same ones I would do. And like, you know, you've been successful in doing the Tone Mob thing. Like, I mean, you've embedded yourself as like your part, you're an institution, you know? So, and it's like, how did you do that? And can you do that with music as well? And you're saying, I think I can.
Yeah, I think so. I do. I've wanted to do this for a while, and there's going to be things that don't work and things that kind of worked and maybe occasionally a home run. But one thing that I've learned time and time again, and another thing that there's another parallel to is I've helped, excuse me, brands do this. That's another thing, like equipment brands. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, well, the end goal is a little different there. The end goal is actually a bigger ask. The end goal is you want somebody to purchase your item, which is harder in a lot of ways than getting, and easier in some regards, but that's getting into the weeds a little bit. But then getting somebody to, you know, enjoy a piece of art or enjoy a piece of media. So I was just like, okay, I've been able to help people do this in multiple different formats, but never a musical artist. And I feel like this is our opportunity to give it a try. And the texting thing, to go back to that, that's a big part of why I got that number. So the first people that have signed up for this are folks who, I told them, like, listen, this is an experiment. I don't really know what kind of content I'm going to put on here specifically. In the back of my mind, I knew we were going to be documenting this process, and I told a few of those people that. That's kind of part of what this podcast is announcing that we're kind of working together, and this is a place you can go follow this project, for lack of a better term. But I told them, I'm like, this is going to be an experimental platform. Like, I might send you pictures of sandwiches. I might send you a comic book that I'm working on. Like, it's the place for, like, I know it sounds crazy, but like, I've just gotten so many requests over the years via email and direct message. And I'm on all the platforms. So wherever they message me at. And it's people like, hey, I would like to know more. You on the podcast, you mentioned you were really into comic books, or you're really into aliens, or you're really into, you know, business stuff, or you're really into marketing stuff. I'd like to know more about that. I'd like to, you know, get some more of that content. And the audiences that I've built, it's not really for anything but guitar stuff. Or music stuff, if we're branching out a little bit. I mean, the pizza thing's gotten thrown in there as well. And that everybody loves pizza. That's kind of cheating. but like, you know, if I'm, you know, I've talked about cooking and barbecue and all this other stuff, just kind of in passing. And so many people are like, wait, I want to know more about that. What are you talking about when you're saying you let, you know, the pork roast go for X amount of time? And you know, I'm like, oh, I don't think that most people who listen to the show want to hear about that all the time. Right. So the text platform, I was like, let's use this as the random platform. Let's use this as the place where I can show a little more personal stuff and, you know, share some businessy stuff. And then that's when I thought of you, and it was like, and maybe that can be the place where we document the processes that we are going to attempt. So some of the things you and I have talked about doing is doing an occasional podcast over there that just goes out to those people. And right. You have to be, you know, you get the link to the MP3 and you go check it out when you have time, and we'll be discussing the things that we're trying or the things that we've seen this week or trends that are going on. You know, we're going to try a lot of different weird stuff, and we're going to try things that I don't think anybody else, honestly, like, I don't think anybody else has tried some of the stuff that we're thinking of trying, and it'll be a worthwhile experiment, even if maybe they listen to your music and they're like, oh, I'm more of a metal guy. You know, it might still be worth it to follow along and see what we're up to, you know?
Right.
I really like your music. That's you know, we've talked about metrics and tactics and, you know, consistency and all this stuff. That's all very, very important, but we've discussed all that assuming that the listener understands that the music and the stuff that you're producing has to be good. Like, none of this will matter if you just shotgun something out there that's phoned in. You do have to do your best to create the best thing that you possibly can. We're just assuming you've already done that. You know?
Right. But then also, the listener, too, it's, you know, to be fair, like, what is good is subjective, you know? Like, if you're happy with it, you know, if you're happy with it, I believe wholeheartedly that there is an audience out there for you, you know? And I think the problem that we get as artists is we're constantly comparing ourselves to the artists that we revere, that we love, and we see their success story and we believe that, like, ours should mirror that. And when it doesn't, and we don't reach the same level of acclaim or acceptance that these other artists do, like, I mean, it's enough to kind of make us kind of give up on this, you know? I mean, artists by and large are pretty sensitive people, and I mean, you kind of have to be. When we think about it, is like, you know, you create something from nothing. You know, like, you have to have a level of sensitivity in order to be able to acquiesce to that, you know? So it hurts when you put things out there and no one recognizes it. It hurts when you've labored months and months and agonized over the exact tone that you want for this. And then you write this song and you put it out and, like, it gets like 14 listens, you know, like, these things hurt. We have to realize that, like, our measure of success isn't going to be the same as, like, the guys who have huge followings, you know? And, you only got 14 people to listen to that, but that's 14 people. And it's like, you have to be able to, we want to create a system where you be able to follow up with those 14 people and be like, hey man, did you like this? Did you love this? What was the cool? All right. Well, I've got something else for you. And that's the other thing. Like, I mean, that's the other takeaway is that, like, you want to be able to, you know, treat your fan base like you would treat your friends, like your family, because these are people who are going to support your artistic endeavors. And if right out of the gates, it's only 14 people, I mean, you come out with an album, $10, like, I mean, like, you know, you just made $140. So it takes knowing things like that. So, you know, just got to keep on with it.
It's also, it's easy to get hung up on these numbers without actually really thinking about what it means. And I've thought about this quite a bit in regards to, like, the podcast downloads and whatnot, where it's like, you know, you look at certain pieces of content. I mean, just the other day I was talking about this with a friend where, you know, as much as social media is challenging to navigate, the fact that I can... So I found myself complaining, and I realized how ridiculous it was after I said it. I made a stupid little video of me noodling on the keyboard the other night. I was just like, I haven't played this thing in a while. Let's just set up the camera real quick, and I'm just going to fiddle around here for a few minutes. And then I put a dumb filter on it, and I shot it out to Instagram at like 10:30 at night or something. And then I was like, wow, this is weird. This thing only got like 800 and something views when my last video that was of a similar quality did like 5,000. And I was like, you complaining because 800 and whatever people saw this clip that you didn't really put that much effort into? You just kind of put it out on a whim because you were feeling bored. 800 and whatever people. I think it's 838 last time I looked. That's a lot of... At what other time in history could you do a random little noodle and get 800 plus people to give it more than a passing thought? Like, it's kind of crazy to think about when we said you like, it's like, oh, it got 14 downloads or it got 100 downloads. It's like, we dream of playing in clubs sometimes that have 100 people in it. Like, oh, it's a, only like a 200 cap room, but I did sell it out. It's like, you'd be ecstatic if you were playing a sold out 200 cap room at, you know, at certain points in your career.
Exactly. Like, and then you would be satiated and playing in front of 14 people in most instances. So it's kind of like, it's interesting. Yeah. Like, I mean, and the journey is always different for all of us. Like, I mean, I've labored over, you know, certain videos that I've put out and only got 200 views, and it took me 4 or 5 days to do that. So hearing on the opposite end, hearing you be like, yeah, put a camera up over this keyboard and play it, I got 800 views, and I'm like, on the outside looking in, I'm like, yeah, man, that's 800. Like, I put videos out where I've spent 5 days working on this video and it got like 200 views. And it's like, you know, it helps these instances kind of put things into perspective for a lot of us. And, yeah.
Yeah. It's something we need to talk about. Like, that, I mean, I'm thinking back to myself 6-7 years ago. If I would have thought that one person would be interested in a piece of content that I produced, if that one person really actually cared and really actually enjoyed it, I would have been over the moon. And I think we sometimes get wrapped up in, and I think part of it is because of what you were talking about earlier, needing a certain amount to even make minimum wage, which is, you need a ton of Spotify plays to even make minimum wage. And so we kind of view that through this lens of like, oh, well, that's the bare minimum. So we're not even close to that. Yeah. But if you actually frame it as those are not downloads, those are not streams, those are not views, those are people. Those are people. Then it starts to take on a different flavor. It's like, oh, it also becomes a little bit weightier. And once I kind of worked through that process in my head, I was like, you know, maybe I shouldn't just like randomly put up noodly things. Maybe I need to put a little more juice into this stuff if that many people are going to view it. It's kind of flipping that script on its head and appreciating what we can do now, because, and if COVID would have hit in the 90s, we'd all be way worse off than we have been in this digital age. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Now, at least there are opportunities and outlets for us to kind of, you know, push through or push our stuff out to. So, I mean, that's very much a thing. And, dude, that's an excellent point. I haven't even thought of that. Yeah, if COVID hit in the 90s, where would we really be? Man.
Whew. We wouldn't be able to do this. Certainly. And nobody would listen to this. Like, I mean, I actually talked to Joel from Chase Bliss about this right when the lockdowns were first happening this year. I was like, you know, this all sucks. This is not good. Nobody's happy about it. But there's never been a better time in history for this to happen. If we have to be stuck in one place, at least we have unlimited amounts of content available, unlimited amount of digital connectivity to be able to do things like this, or just even call and FaceTime and Zoom meeting and whatever. There's never been a better time in history for this to have happened. So we're actually lucky in a weird way that it happened now.
We are. And for certain artists, this is presenting an interesting opportunity too. I mean, and that's the biggest thing. Like, we've talked about like how the landscape of what it is to the music business, the landscape is changing so much. Like, it's creating like huge cracks in the infrastructures of these things, and therein lies an opportunity for any one of us indie artists to kind of break through these cracks and to really kind of solidify this thing that we're trying to do. Because now the labels and things like that and the powers that be ultimately don't have a great handle on what's happening. They don't have control over everything, you know? So if everyone's at home and is consuming content and you have a, you have a cell phone with a camera and you have the ability to make your own music, you are now being given an opportunity that you would have never received ever in history to do something in a meaningful way, you know? So this, the whole COVID thing, it's unfortunate in a lot of respects, and, you know, a lot. It's harming families. It's taking lives. It's a terrible, terrible, terrible thing. And I don't want to dismiss that, but also too, for entrepreneurs and for specifically musicians, like, this is an opportunity for you to actually do something. And I mean, there's other reasons why artists need to kind of create. And I think I've said this on, I was on the Get Offset podcast.
Wonderful. And I talked podcast.
About very wonderful, awesome people. That more now than ever, musicians have to create. Because when we look back at like the historic references of like the civil rights movements and things of that nature, the history books that have come out since then have changed a thousand times over. And the truth of what actually happened in those instances have been watered down so much in the history books. But the one thing that stays the same from then to now are the songs that were created. The songs that outline the struggles, the song from that era. In fact, we sing them, you know, we sing them and hum along with them. The art that was painted that reflect that time still hang on museum walls and is protected and will forever be protected. So there's a greater responsibility now more than ever to be an artist, you know, like, because who knows what the history books will kind of like tell, what's version of this story they will spin in the years to come. But I promise you, the one thing that will stand the test of time is your art. And we can talk about the business aspect of, like, you know, doing this and being an entrepreneur and getting your music out there. But then also too, there's the other factor, and there's the responsibility of being an artist, because not everyone can be an artist. You know, we're in this whole fraternity of musicians, and we all, it's so commonplace for us, you know, oh yeah, that guy plays guitar, that guy plays bass, he sings, whatever. Yeah. But like, to the rest of the world, like, by and large, we are a minority amongst them. And we have the responsibility of creating and just letting people know that, like, you know, it's that saying, you know, like when you go into certain places and it says, you know, Jim was here, and it's like written on a wall somewhere, you know, or it's been like, you know, etched into a tree. Like, that's what you were doing. You create a ripple in time, you know, that will reverberate far beyond like your lineage. And in that, you're creating immortality. So it's super important.
And those things that you create, they impact how others feel and think about them.
Like, even if it's only 14 people.
If it's 14 people, it's one. You know what I mean? It means something. And so don't give up. That's that consistency part. We're going to talk a lot about the business stuff in later podcasts that come out for those that text the number. Which I guess I should give them, since we keep talking about it and we haven't done it. Give them the number yet. Let's give them the number real quick right here on the podcast. And I'm going to do it on the intro and outro too. So don't throw your car off the road to try to write this down. It'll be out there. It'll be in the show notes too. So 503-751-8577. That's 503-751-8577. And if you're listening to this outside of the US, the country code is 1. So yeah, that's the number. And you text that, and that literally comes directly to my phone. Some people have expressed concern in the text app that I was giving out my personal cell phone number. And I am not giving out my personal cell phone number. That is a different phone number. But this does effectively come right to my phone. So you can't call me. You'll get a voicemail instructing you to text me if you call that number. But you can text me.
Can they order pizza, though? Or
they might be able to. Depending on how close they live to me, I would not be against delivering a listener a pizza. I've bought listeners a pizza across the country before, which was actually a lot of fun. I'm going to have to do that again sometime. But yeah, it's that's the phone number. If you text that, it'll come right to me. If you text the keyword indigo, all caps, indigo, you're going to get specifically things only related to what we're doing with the Boy Indigo Project. If you just text that number in general, you're going to get all the random stuff, which is not that much. It's not like I'm going to be blowing you up every single day with text messages, unless you want me to. So if you want me to, all you got to do is text that number a bunch of times and I'll be like, yeah, what's up? I will reply. At this point in this experiment's life cycle, there's a lot of people already signed up, but it's not so many that I can't reply to every message. So as of right now, I'm replying to every single thing, and I will as long as that's physically possible.
Can we ask, and I know that you're the one governing this, and I don't want to like put any more undue work on you, but can we ask the people who, the listeners who will kind of be following along with this, like if you're out there and you've got some practices or tricks and tips that you've actually implored that's helped you out in this whole music journey, like, you know, respond with those as well, you know, those stories and those instances, because like, you know, the reason why we're doing this and the reason why we're making this available for people is that like, we want you to succeed in your music. And the only way it's going to happen is if we kind of stand together as kind of a community and help each other out. You know, like, I mean, I don't get anything for doing this. It's not, you know, but I think that we can succeed if we come together and help each other. This is not a race. This is not a competition. I promise you that these practices just helps you to find your audience and your audience alone. And then it that's what we're after. Find your tribe, you know, and yeah, how to keep them.
Yep. Find your people and treat them good and they'll treat you good. That's really what it comes down to. So anyway, that's where you get a hold of us. Do you have anything else you want to say before we wrap this thing up? This was a very excellent conversation, but they always are. They always are.
Oh, yeah. Indeed. Indeed. No, I think we've pretty much like covered all of it. You know, I think what we'll do in the next podcast thing that we do similar for this is we'll go over some numbers, and then maybe if you guys have any questions for us, you know, text those questions in and I would love to kind of, you know, have a connection with you guys and like, you know, answer those questions that you guys might have, no matter how silly they are. Let's create this community and like, let's like let it thrive.
Yeah, absolutely, man. That'll be a very interesting experiment. I think it's going to work. I just don't know exactly what the format will be that we end up landing on, but it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to doing these regular podcast updates. And again, everyone that's listening to this on the main feed, we're not going to put out all of these episodes on the Tone Mob RSS feed. This is going to be just for the people who text that number. And that's how we're going to do it. Cause we know a lot of you that listen, they just want to hear about the history of people's effects pedals companies and guitar stuff. Like, I get it. That's why most of you are here. But I just wanted to give everybody the opportunity to hear what we were up to and, you know, come take part in it if it sounds like it might be something interesting to you. So I think that's probably good for
It'll
today.
Be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
All right, well, let's wrap this thing up. What do you say?
I'm good.
All right. For everybody.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah, for everybody, for Devon, this is Blake. And as always, folks, good luck and good tones. All right, folks, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I did. If you want to follow along closely with this project and get all kinds of random stuff, you can text me at 503-751-8577. So, yeah, that's the place, and it'll be in the show notes. If you need to just copy and paste that over, it'll be nice and easy for you. Please go check out Boy Indigo wherever you stream your music. Give it a listen. See what it's about. See if it's for you. And at the very least, tell a friend about this podcast. That would be massively helpful. And if you need even more content, if there's just not enough content out here for you and you need more, you can go to patreon.com/tonemob, where for $5 a month, I am putting out extra episodes every week. And they're generally extended versions of these conversations. This week, I talked to Michael and Dan from Reverb about the Pedal movie on the main part of the episode, and we go into more details on Patreon. So if you want to hear extra content every week and help support the show, that is the place to do it. Another thing you can do, if you just don't want to do that, and I totally get it because times are weird, but you're going to be buying gear, definitely purchase things from tonemob.com/sweetwater. or tonemob.com/reverb. It doesn't cost you anything extra, and a small portion of those purchases come back and help keep this show going. So if you're going to be buying gear, and let's face it, you're probably going to be buying gear because you're listening to a gear show, that is an easy way to help support the show. But like I said earlier, the free way to support the show is to tell people about it. The more people that know about this, the better. It literally is the only thing keeping the lights on around here. The fact that people know and listen to this show. So thank you so much for getting this deep, and I hope you enjoyed this kind of off-topic episode, and yeah, I'll talk to you next time. One last thing before we totally sign off here, I just want to remind you that if you do any shopping at Stringjoy, that's Stringjoy Guitar Strings made in Nashville, that will help me out as well. As I've said for years, I'm heavily involved in that company, and I really do think they're making the best products on the market. So if you would like to try custom strings, go to tonemob.com/stringjoy and check them out today. I seriously love what the team down there is doing. I help them out with all kinds of things, and by you supporting them, you are also supporting me as well. And hey, you need some strings. So why not get some custom strings just for your guitar and playing style? Again, the link for that is tonemob.com/stringjoy, and that will take you right to their website, and you can do all your shopping through there, and that will help everyone involved out. So thank you very much. Talk to you next time. We are brought to you by the wonderful folks at Gun Street Wiring Shop. Yes, Gun Street Wiring Shop. I've talked about them before. I used to say based out of Bend, Oregon, but guess what? Sean moved to my neck of the woods. Sean's in Portland. Sean is awesome and has helped me with a bunch of stuff lately. And if you have wiring needs for your guitar, he can help you too. If you want to get weird with it, he can get weird. If you just need to spruce things up a little bit, there's your guy. He takes all the guesswork out of doing your guitar wiring, and he makes it simple, and his customer service is top-notch, and I can't say enough good things about Gun Street as a company. I really respect Sean and what he's all about, and the product is top-notch. I've got 3 different guitars that now have Gun Street harnesses in them, and I could not be happier. So go to GunStreetWiringShop.com and check them out.